Titus chapter 2, if you turn there, please. I'll be reading a few places tonight, and let me put this precursor on the message, and that is, listen carefully to everything I say, because it's important you get the context of what I'm saying. Titus chapter 2, and then also, if you will, I'll read the first five verses, and then, of course, a couple pages back to your left. We'll look at one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. All right? You should be receiving a handout tonight. It's really some simple things, but it's the small foxes that spoil the vine so often. Titus 2, would you stand with me as we read? Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Hold your hand there. Turn back a couple pages. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is our belief that this passage I'm going to read, this one verse, is the Apostle Paul, just before he leaves this world. The last inspired scriptures that he penned here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's read verses 6 and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Notice verse 7. As he's ready to depart, 2 Timothy 4:7, he's ready to depart this world. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to say that. I hope you do too. I believe you do. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you'd please guide and direct as I speak tonight. Lord, I need a fresh filling of thy spirit. Lord, open our eyes of understanding to the scriptures this evening, that no matter where we are in life tonight, that we might take these truths to heart, that if God willing, you allow us to come to these years in our lives that we're speaking of tonight, that we might finish well. And so I pray you'd again fill me with your spirit, lead and direct my thoughts and my words, and give us ears to hear tonight and understanding and a will to obey. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, on Wednesday evenings, we've been doing kind of a mini-series here, looking at the subject, as you see at the top of your page, your handout this evening, facing the realities of life. You know, there's real life, then there's your Facebook life. The one you wish was, but really isn't. But the reality is life has its difficulties. All of us have a story, don't we, in this auditorium? And we have things that we're dealing with in life. And we have to face those realities. And really the premise of this series is this. There are times in the Christian life that we face changes. And I call them, again, I'm referring to them as realities. In other words, things that could be unexpected events that occur in our lives, something you didn't plan. You know, tomorrow could be a very different day for you, for all you know and I know, for me as well. A sudden change could happen in our lives, or it could just merely be a different stage in life or a different phase of life. We know, and I mentioned these verses last week, and according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that life has its seasons. It has its seasons. We read in verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. The point is, again, all of us face seasons of life. And when these seasons come, changes come. Changes do. Changes in our routines. Changes in our schedule. And if we are not careful, we can allow those changes to cause us, or those events to cause us to backslide on God, to stray in our Christian walk, or to really alter our God-given purpose in life. You know, it is not uncommon to see a Christian that for years is strong and faithful and godly, and then all of a sudden they face something in life, an unexpected event, a change, whatever it may be, a new stage, a new phase in life, and suddenly that person that seemingly is so strong goes AWOL on God. May I say that no event in our life should do this to us? None. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So can you. Would to God all of us would be true to what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24 when he said, "But none of these things move me." Nothing does. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I want to finish strong and I want to finish well, no matter what I face. No matter what God allows in my life, no matter what phase of life I go through, no matter what difficulty I face, I want to be able to truly say that none of these things move me. And I want to finish my course with joy. That ought to be the goal of all of us. But it doesn't always happen. Now, some of the things we've looked at so far, we've dealt with five subjects facing the realities of life. We dealt with grief when we lose a loved one. We dealt with temptation when we face a possibility of sinning against God. We've dealt with having a new addition come home when we have a new baby in the family. We talked about when children become teenagers. And then last week, we dealt with when two become one, a new marriage. What are we doing tonight? Well, you see it. It's in front of you. Tonight, we're going to deal with the subject and consider the subject when the golden years come. When the golden years. Let me ask you something. How will we handle the golden years? Or should I say for some of us, how are you handling the golden years? Are we going to please God in those last years of our lives? I want to deal with that subject tonight. So let's get right into the message. Let's talk about, first of all, number one, the definition of the golden years. What are we talking about? What am I saying when I say the golden years? We're talking about, you might want to write this right under that, the retirement age. The retirement age. You know, if you were to look up the English word retirement in the Strong's Concordance, you would not find that word in the Bible. There's no word retirement. There is no phrase golden years in the Bible. The word retire is two times in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 15. And then Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 6. But both of the times has nothing to do with the retirement age. It refers to either retreating in a battle as you retire from the battle or lying down, as we say, we're retiring for the evening. So retirement or golden years, that's not a Bible word or a Bible phrase. But retirement is something that cultures literally around the world practice. This idea of having a retirement age, what it is, and you know what it is, I'm not trying to simplify it too much, but it's basically the action of leaving one's job or career and ceasing to work. That's what it means to retire. It is the point in our lives when a person stops employment completely. Now, the idea is that you work much, if not most, of your life. That's what we do. We spend a lot of our life working. And as we work, the goal is, of course, to save money, whether that be in an IRA or some other investment. And then we get to the place in our lives where we can live comfortably off of the money that we have saved or the pension that we receive. And because of that, it enables us to stop working a full-time job. And that's what it means. It's kind of the goal of many. Now, again, a person, you can retire at any age that you desire. I remember speaking to my brother. My dear brother had a desire as a young man to retire at the age of 40. That's what he kept saying. I want to retire at the age of 40. That didn't quite work out for him. But he has worked very, very hard and done well and just retired this year at the age of 57. And so he's retired. And so again, you can retire at any age if you want to and if you're able to. But there are normal, if you'll accept that word, or standard retirement ages that every country or nation has established. For example, if you were to ask the standard retirement ages amongst industrialized nations, you'd find that they range anywhere from the age of 60 to the age of 68. That's kind of, generally speaking, around the world where people would say that's a retirement age. For example, the youngest one would be Thailand. In Thailand, the standard retirement age is 60. In the UK, the standard retirement age is 68, while in the United States, the standard or normal retirement age is 67. What's interesting about America, as I was looking at some of these statistics, is that when many Americans reach the standard retirement age, many of them continue to work. More so in America than any other nation that I saw, other countries. For example, 43% of Americans between the age of 60 and 64 are still working. 20% of Americans between the ages of 65 and 69 are still working. And even 5% of Americans over the age of 70 are still working. So it's a trend in our nation to have that retirement age, but to continue working. But can I say this, that biblically speaking, there is nothing wrong or sinful about retirement. Not at all. It's not a sin to retire. I mean, if you have worked hard for most of your life and you are able to provide for your family and support the work of God and serve the Lord and not work a job, then God bless you. You know, that there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the retirement age, or what I'm referring to as the golden years of life, which is 65 or older, for a Christian actually opens up many more opportunities to serve the Lord. Have you ever thought of it that way? Again, barring health issues or other inhibiting circumstances, barring any of that. You see, because at that age or in that circumstance, you now have more time available than when you worked a full-time job. Those hours that you work are now freed up. You should have and do have, I believe, more wisdom than when you were younger. You have experienced many things in life. You've experienced marriage many times. You've experienced child rearing. You know things about finances and budgeting and all those things. You're more grounded in the Bible if you've been saved, of course. And usually you are more financially stable. And so think of all the opportunities that you have and what you have to offer being in these golden years. You know, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31 says this. And notice the verse at the top of the sheet. This is a wonderful verse. The hoary head. Now we say, what is that? That's actually referring to old age. Speaking of white hair, gray hair, or in some cases, no hair. Amen? But the hoary head, notice what it says, is a crown of glory. Notice the condition, if it be found in the way of righteousness. That's a good verse, isn't it? Think about that. The hoary head, the elderly, the retirement age, if you will, if it be found in the way of righteousness, notice it's a crown of glory. So think of it this way, that the golden years of life can be very productive years in many ways for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise the Lord for the opportunity he gives us in those years. So that is the definition of the golden years. Notice secondly, though, the dangers of the golden years. Now, here we go through life, and we've worked a job, and you've gotten to that place where you're stable enough to, you got your finances where they ought to be, and so forth, and you say, you know what, It's time for me to retire. When that happens, changes come. Schedules are now different. Things are mixed up, if you will, out of the norm of your life. But understand what could be very productive years for the Lord Jesus Christ during this retirement age or the golden years, for some, and I might even stretch out to say many, they're not. As a matter of fact, for some, they become the least productive years for the Lord Jesus Christ of their entire saved life. Why is that? Why is that? Now, it shouldn't be that way, amen? It should be different. I mean, think of the many believers that we find in the Bible that God used in a great way in their golden years. I'm preaching through Revelation on Sunday evening, the Apostle John. He was serving the Lord Jesus Christ well into his 90s. I mean, he was in his mid-90s and he was still taking his stand for Christ. He was still being used of the Lord to pen the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ along with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I mean, God used him in a great way in his golden years. Again, we're barring issues that would inhibit that, health issues and things like that. We understand that. I think of Moses. I preached on Moses, Sunday morning. He didn't even begin his ministry for God, really. Didn't get cranked up, if you will, until he was 80 years old. Well into his golden years. Even the Apostle Paul. If we were to go to the book of Philemon, we won't go there for time's sake, but I'll just flip over there and look at Philemon, verse 9. Paul says something interesting. Again, he says, "Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So here he is, an aged man. He calls himself the aged, meaning that he was in these golden years, if you will, and we know that he was in his 60s, we believe, well into his 60s, that he was still serving the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and that's the reason I read that scripture, we see that he served the Lord Jesus Christ until the very day of his death, until he left this world. Now, we could go throughout history and look at the lives of many Christians, and I could give you example after example of people that were well into their golden years that were still serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a man, for example, by the name of Anderson Moffett. I spoke of him several times. Matter of fact, I went to see his grave. If you go down Route 81, about, down in New Market area there, you'd find the city of New Market, and he pastored Smith Creek Baptist Church there for a very long time. I'll tell you how long in a moment. But he began preaching Anderson Moffett at the age of 17 years old, and he preached, get this, for 70 years. Imagine that. That's amazing to me. That's wonderful, I believe. 87 years old. He pastored the Smith Creek Baptist Church in New Market, Virginia, for 50 of those years. I mean, he was still going strong. And so again, although it may not be sinful or wrong to retire from work, I believe we can make a case of saying, again, barring any health issues, that it is sinful and wrong to retire on God. It's wrong to just hang it up and say, I'm done. Of course, a person, as we age, may not be able to serve in the same capacity, we understand that, or the same way because of, again, health limitations or maybe your body's slowing down. But what I'm talking about tonight is to simply choose to stop serving God or to choose to stop living for God because we've just reached a certain age and we say, well, I'm just done. That is wrong. You know what is lacking in our churches today? Gray hair. It is. You find all these contemporary churches, you know what they're doing? They're driving the elderly out. That is a grave mistake. They have a great part in the work of God and a great part, as we'll see tonight, to the next generation. We need gray hair in our church. We need it. Or no hair, I know what you're thinking. But anyway, so what are some of the dangers? Why is it that some people get to this golden years of life, or retirement age, and suddenly their mind shifts to thinking differently about the work of God? What causes that? Well, here it is. Letter A, first of all, we can become secular in our thinking. All right? We can become secular in our thinking. Now, there was an article that I found in U.S. News and World Report, February 2011. It was written by a man by the name of Phil Taylor. And again, secular report, and he had, and I came across several articles. They all basically had the same gist of what they were saying. The article was entitled, 25 Things to Do When You Retire. All right? 25 Things to Do When You Retire. Now, I'm not going to read you the whole list, but I'll read you six of them because I think they're important. Here's what they said. Travel the world. Visit family. Buy a motorhome. Spend time with friends. Start a new hobby. And here was another one. Nothing. Don't do anything. Just relax. Now, while there's nothing wrong, again, listen to what I say closely tonight, lest you misrepresent what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with traveling. There's nothing sinful or wrong with visiting your family. There's nothing wrong with spending time with friends or starting a new hobby. Again, nothing wrong with that. In fact, those are good things to do. But if we allow those things to hinder our involvement in the local church, or allow those things to replace our servants to God, then we have abandoned the very purpose that God has for us in this world. And many golden year people do that. They do that. You know, Hebrews 12:1 warns us of some things. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we're running this race, and there are two things, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, that can cause us to stumble. The first thing is sin, and I think we all understand that. We get involved with sin, it's going to mess up our life and our testimony and our walk with God. It'll cost us, it'll hinder us in this race. But there's another thing he talks about, and that is weight. A weight is not a sinful thing, but it is something that weighs us down, that we allow to weigh us down. And we can allow the secular view of the golden years to weigh us down. My life's about traveling. My life's about seeing my family. My life's about friends. My life's about doing what I want to do. My life's about doing nothing. We can say that. And that's a dangerous place to be. Now hold your hand here and turn over to Luke chapter 1. I want to show you something that Zechariah said as he's speaking. Now, of course, he couldn't speak because he doubted God, and then, of course, John the Baptist is born, and he's asked to write the name him, and he writes on there, his name is John. As soon as that happened, now he can speak. And so he's getting ready to speak here, and he's speaking in verse 68. Notice what he says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, here it is, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Serving God is something we're supposed to do all the days of our lives. Not just till we get to a certain place where we're tired of it, or our life has changed, Or now I have the time to do what I want to do. There is no what I want to do in the Christian life. We are supposed to be dead to self and yielded to God all the days of our life. So beware of the secular thinking of retirement and the golden years. It's a dangerous thing, and it catches many. But then there's another one that we need to beware of. Not only becoming secular in our thinking, but also becoming cynical in our thinking. C-Y-N-I-C-A-L. You know, by the time many Christians reach the golden years, they've seen a lot of things happen in churches with Christians. They've watched the world get worse and worse. They've watched churches become more and more liberal. They've seen Christians come and go in church and in church and out of church. They've even seen pastors come and go many times. They've seen churches close and churches open. They have people throughout their life that have disappointed them. And they can wrongly adopt a what's the use attitude. What's the use? And refused to get involved. They stop soul winning. They stop visiting families. They stop investing their lives in a, what's the use? I've seen it all. I've seen it coming. That's what they say. They won't usher. They won't set up for fellowships or clean up for fellowships. They won't even join a church. Some of them just had it with church. They're done. I'm just done. That's how they respond. They don't think they need Sunday night services anymore, and I'll get to that in a moment, or attend special meetings. They don't get involved with what's going on because they have the attitude, been there, done that, been hurt, I'm not doing it anymore. Get somebody else. I've reached a place that I'm done. That's a cynical attitude. May I say this as kindly as I can? It's not a badge of honor to tell people what you used to do that you're not doing anymore that you could still be doing. Oh, I used to go soul winning. That's a badge of honor. As you're walking around and you're walking all around Walmart, walking to everywhere else, you can't walk to someone's door and knock on it. I'm just saying. It's almost like it's a badge of honor. It's almost like we're justifying our existence. Why, I used to do this years ago. And I say, why aren't you still doing it? Why aren't you singing in the choir? Why aren't you working as an usher? Why aren't you? I don't get it. There's an attitude of cynicism that I've done all that. I'm finished. Been there. That's a danger. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Here it is. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just sometimes. Not just till you reach a certain age. Not till you've had enough and you've done it and you've seen it all and you're just tired of it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we can become cynical as we get into those golden years. Very easy to do. And there's a third one, letter C on the backside. And that is this. Look at the guy there. That's what I preach to sometimes, by the way. And that's set in our ways. Bless me if you can. Let's see if this one can make me move. I doubt it. I'll find something wrong. Just hang out here long enough. I'll find it. And I'm looking for it, let me tell you. Well, you will, because I'm a human being. You will. You see, there's a danger in becoming set in our ways. And I'm not talking about I shall not be moved in my doctrine. We should be set in those ways. And in our standards, and our stand on the King James Bible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about saying, thinking, I'm not changing. Or I've been around this stuff long enough, and I've been saved longer than the pastor's been alive. Well, that may be true. But you know, you can become unteachable. And I don't know if this is a word. I just invented it. Unpastorable. There's some people, I'll never be their pastor. You know why? They won't let me. Because they know it all. They got all the answers. Can I say this? You may have and you may even know more than the pastor. But God places a pastor in your life for you. Amen. To help you. To help you. That's just the way it is. You know, we're to always grow. None of us have arrived. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're to grow in grace. All of us. It's not grow until a certain spot and you're done. The only time we stop growing is when we go to heaven. And then we'll be like him. We don't need to grow anymore after that. Amen. But until we get there, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's still got work to do in you. And if you've gotten to the place where you're so set in your ways, you don't believe that, then you have a problem with your golden years. It's called pride. Doesn't matter how many years have been saved. Doesn't matter how much Bible you know. Doesn't matter how old you are. All of us have room to grow, things to learn, areas that need to be changed. Don't become set in your ways as you get older and into the golden years. Stay tender-hearted to the things of God. And then there's a third thing. Not only the definition of retirement, not only the dangers of the golden years. Go back to Titus chapter 2. So what is the desire of God? Well, we're back to where we started here. Notice what we read, and I read it this evening, a little bit earlier. We read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Notice that the aged men, hallelujah, you have a ministry. There it is. The golden years. The elderly, the aged men, what are they to be? Sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Notice verse 3, the aged women, there's your ministry. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you know that God has a special service for those in the golden years? You have a ministry. And may I say again, a vital ministry to this church and any church. You are important. You need to be here. Why is that? Well, because of what we read. Notice he talks about the aged men. He in verse 2, verse 3 and 4, he talks about the aged women. Now, we could go into all the specifics of that, but as we compare Scripture with Scripture throughout the Bible, let me just make a few general statements and say this. Here is your ministry. Are you ready? The first one, letter A, is to be a testimony to the next generation. To be a testimony. Do you know that people naturally look to people? When my wife and I first got saved, we didn't know anything about the Bible. I couldn't find the book of Exodus. If you asked me to, I'd look all over the place. I don't know where it was. I'd eventually find it. To me, if the closer it was to the beginning, the easier it was for me to find, because I just started at the beginning and go through that. And then when the preacher said it's in the New Testament, that helped me out, and now I got, you know, halfway to go. But my point is this, as we're learning things in bite-sized pieces, we are actually learning more things by watching people. May I say some right and some wrong? But we were watching. We said, oh, that's what we're supposed to do. Oh, that's how we're supposed to act. Oh, you see, people naturally, and particularly young Christians, naturally look to others for examples, to model themselves after. And again, as younger Christians are looking, they are looking to those that are in their golden years as to see how the Christian life is to be lived. The older you are, the more impact you have. Have you ever thought of it that way? Be an example. Be a testimony. Would it be an example in your marriage? You know, they're looking at your marriage. They are. They're looking at how you treat your spouse. They're listening to how you talk to your spouse. They're watching as you go out into the parking lot, whether you leave her a mile behind you or you open the door for her and be a gentleman. They're watching that. Everyone's looking at someone. I don't know what that means, but there's obviously an inside story here because all these heads went somewhere over there. I'm kind of curious. You'll have to tell me later. But they're watching. They are. They're seeing all of that stuff. They know how faithful you are to church. Do you know how important it is to just be here? Because young Christians know when you are not here. They know how much you miss church. They know when people leave early. They see when people buzz out of here. See, and all of that, they're learning things by your testimony. They're watching. You need to be an example in all of these areas. You need to be an example in your service to God. What are you doing for the Lord? You need to be an example in your attitude towards the local church, your attitude towards the church itself, just the people of the church, your attitude towards the pastor and the church program and the services. They're seeing if you still visit or go soul winning or if you talk about witnessing to people. They take in all of that. They watch how you dress, both in church and out of church. They see that. They see you in the store wearing something maybe a Christian they thought shouldn't wear. You're teaching them. They're watching your demeanor. They watch how you act in a business meeting. They do. They watch how you handle difficulties. They watch how you handle your sicknesses and your doctors and your difficulties. As the golden years come, this body breaks down. And by the way, young person, if you don't think it's going to, it is. You're going to start losing your hearing, your eyesight, and guys, most likely your hair. It just happens. I always laugh when I think about that. We had our bus riders come in one time when we were at Mainland. Was it Mainland or something? Maybe it was, yeah, it was Mainland, I think, towards the end before we had gone to the Landmark for Bible College. And one of my bus riders, in his bus rider fashion, looked over at the picture. Of course, my wife and I were saved later. So he looked at the picture. It was 1987 of me and my wife, our engagement picture, looked at me, looked at my wife, but then looked at me again and said, "Who's the dude with the wig?" That's exactly what he said. "Who's the dude with the wig?" I said, "That's me. Thank you." But people are watching. They are. Don't think they're not. Don't think they're not. You see, those of you that are in your golden years, you are living sermons to young Christians. You are. You know, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Can I ask you something? Could you say that of your life? Be followers of me. Do what I do. Number two, letter B, and we're done right here. If this does too much, we can go to this one here. And that is this: be a teacher to the next generation. That's your ministry. Yes, we teach by example, but we also teach by word. The aged men and women, you, listen, and I'm not trying to butter you up after I just sliced you apart. I'm really not. You have wisdom. You have things that you've been through that many couples in our church have no idea. I mean, think about it. You have life experience. You have Bible knowledge, not just in theory, but in practice. I mean, you've lived it. You've lived through things. And you can take an interest in some of the younger couples or younger families or younger people and disciple them. Amen? Make a difference. Get involved with their lives. Have them over for dinner. Let them see your life. Teach them in that way. Get to know them. Bridge the generation gap. You can do that. If you choose to. You know, I personally believe that the golden years of a person's life can be the most influential. And I believe the golden year people in our church are the most influential people in the church. I believe that. That's why it hurts to see when someone hangs up their cleats on God and says, you know what, I'm just going to coast. I've done all that, and I'm not going to do that anymore. It's sad. Because you're taking an opportunity that God has given you to make a difference in an entire generation. And it may not be standing behind a pulpit, but I'll tell you what, they're watching you. And if you show an interest in their life, you can make a tremendous difference in their lives and for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, question is, we're down right here. How are you handling your golden years, if you're in them? How are you? Don't let those years of your life be wasted. Don't let those years of your life turn into me years. It's about what I want to do and finishing my bucket list and traveling all these places. Again, nothing wrong with that. But when that, as far as doing those things, when that becomes your purpose and you're forsaking the ministry that God has given to you, then you're wasting the most precious years of your life to be an example to others, the golden years. I hope you're using them wisely. Let's pray together.